Let's take our Bibles this morning, and I want you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 15. Proverbs 15. I'd like to look at verses 16 and 17. Proverbs 15. Going through this blessed book, I never can say it enough. This is how the Lord taught. This is how He preached when He was on this earth. He would preach in parables. And they would hear. People would hear. A lot of times His disciples heard. And the Scriptures said they understood not. And He would explain it to them. Now this morning, as we continue going through the book of Proverbs, we have the explainer with us, the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God who takes God's Word and explains it, reveals it to God's people. I pray the Lord might be pleased to reveal to us today what the Lord Himself has to say. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 16 and 17. Scripture says, "Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therein. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith." Now, based upon the revelation of God's Spirit in our passage today, things are either better or they're worse. One of the two. Every man, every woman is in a state that's either better or worse. And the only thing that makes the difference is the grace of God. Better, the Scripture says. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therein. It's better to have no more than something to eat today, something to wear today, have a place to lay my head. It's better to be sick. It's better to be destitute of great riches and to possess the knowledge and a heart that truly knows and loves Almighty God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ than it is to possess the whole world and to be without the fear, the respect of Almighty God. Matthew 16:26 says, "For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" I've said this before. I'll say it again. Every time I hear of someone died, someone passed away, someone, you know, the first thing goes through my mind, I wonder if that person knew God in mercy and compassion. If not, I know what happened. I know exactly where they went. Truly, a person is better off. Let me ask you this. You know, we have read, you know the story about the rich man and Lazarus. And here was Lazarus, and the Scripture says Lazarus, he lived out on the street, and he had boils, sores. He'd take a piece of broken pottery, a potsherd, just a piece of pottery is all it was. Just had some little sharp edges, probably felt good to him, you know, probably itched and hurt, and he scraped himself. And the Scripture said that the dogs came and licked his wounds. Can you imagine? Living out on the street and just flies and just nasty, just sitting there. I just imagine he hadn't been able to bathe, and he's in misery. And there was a rich man, Scripture said. He fared sumptuously every day. Lived in luxury, had everything that anybody could possibly want, I'm sure, in this world. But he's one that he didn't know God. Shunned God. And both of them died. I wonder who was better off when they died. Well, you know. The day of their death told the whole story. Lazarus died. And he didn't hurt anymore. He didn't ache anymore. No dogs licked his sores anymore. He didn't have to scrape his boils anymore. He went right on into the bosom of Abraham. And he was at rest and at peace. He was right there in the presence of God. And that rich man that had everything, that rich man that wouldn't lift up his hand to help Lazarus if his life depended on it, that man died, and the Scripture says he lifted up his eyes, Pat, out of hell. And he called unto the Lord out of hell. Not for mercy. He didn't have a new heart. Men in hell, women in hell, they'll never cry unto the Lord for mercy. It takes a new heart to do that. It takes a new will, a new mind. He cried and everything was still about him. Father Abraham, I'm in torment in these flames. Would you have Lazarus just dip his finger one time? That's all I'm asking. Just dip his finger. Just put it on my tongue. I'm in misery. The Lord said, no. No, just remember. Remember. When you were in this life right here, you had everything you wanted. Everything that was important to you then. Everything that was important to you. You had it. Whatever you wanted to do, that's what you did. No, there's a great gulf fixed in... No passing before. No, Lazarus is here and you're there. That's where you're going to be forever. Father Abraham, would you send Lazarus back? He said, I got some brothers that don't know you either. Would you send Lazarus and have Lazarus go and preach to them? Because if one be raised from the dead, they'll hear him. And the Lord said, no. No, they've got the law and the prophets. If they don't hear my word, though one be raised from the dead, they won't hear him. They will not hear him. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And you know what man wanted to do? Wanted to kill him. Again. Kill Lazarus. Let's kill him. Let's kill him. Truly, it's better off, man's better off to go through this world and have nothing, little, and possess the fear, the respect, a heart for Almighty God than to amass great riches. Get his statement every month. Check it out. How we doing? Oh, we doing good. We're doing great. We got. There ain't no way in the world we'll ever be in trouble. Great treasure. Without the fear of the Lord, without the knowledge of Christ, the Scripture says, is trouble, confusion, uproar. Man without a heart for God's honor. Man without a heart for God's Son, God's Christ. Man that's only concerned with this world's fleeting care. The only thing that's on his mind, he spends his time, is how to get and keep all I can of this world. Better is little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Verse 17, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Dinner of herb, just a poor man's meal, just meager, just cornbread and milk, some beans. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is. Love for God, love for God's Son, love for God's righteousness, love for God's gospel, love for God's people. Oh, to be able to come and just hear the gospel one more time. I think about, based upon that rich man that went to hell, I don't know what would that man have given to be able to hear the gospel. I don't know. He didn't have a heart for God. Let me tell you something. We're sitting this morning and we have no idea the mercy of God that has been shown us to be able to hear the gospel of free grace. Sovereign, saving grace. And not sitting under a message of lies that exalts man and man's will and just debases God. That message that just puts God in a box and says, you know, oh, if you'll just help him out. To hear the message of truth. It's better just to have just some herbs to eat. Something that God Almighty just raised and gave you. Drop them in a pan of water and eat them. That's all I got. Than to have a stalled ox. Security. I got some security. Man, you realize that's an Angus. Man, I got the finest ox out there. But I don't love God. I have no time for that. I have a freezer full of filet and a hatred for God, and to die in that state. Now these precious truths, I believe, are fully, beautifully expounded, explained in the New Testament. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's read verses 6 to 11. 1 Timothy 6. 6 to 11. But godliness, that is a true knowledge of God's grace in Christ. Godliness, that's what it is. But godliness. Not. It doesn't mean to try to impress people and make them think how pious you are and try to put on a show, be a hypocrite. That's it. No. Godliness is a true knowledge of God's grace in Christ. But godliness with contentment, satisfied. I'm satisfied. His grace, His sacrifice, His love, His presence is sufficient. To be where He is, to be where He's honored, to be where He's present, that's sufficient. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich, that's my aim, that's my goal, fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, the apostle had set forth under the inspiration of God's Spirit in that same chapter, 1 Timothy 6, in verses 3 to 5. He said, if any man, 1 Timothy 6:3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes and words whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. The Lord was here revealing that the gospel of God's grace, God the Spirit was revealing that the gospel of God's grace, blessed by the Holy Spirit, produces a humble spirit, a spirit of humility before God. But the doctrines of men, that doctrine that is man-centered, free will doctrine, that doctrine of men, it does nothing but fill the mind with pride and self-esteem. It just elevates a man. Because what a man is going to think, as I've said before, he'll think in his mind, I know that I've not done much, but at least I believed. I know, at least I've given my heart to Jesus. You know, other men, it does nothing but just point a man to himself. He looks within. These teachers, these men that stand in these pulpits, they know nothing of spiritual things, and they spend their time in nothing but controversy, in disputes and strifes. And the ministry of these lies, it produces nothing but questions. It's inconsistent. It's inconsistent with the gospel of God's grace. I've said before, the gospel of free grace is the only message that makes sense. It's the only message that makes sense. I've told you this before, I'll tell you again. When men say Jesus Christ died for the sins of all the world, paid for everybody's sin, well, if everybody's sin has been paid for, and God sends one man to hell, God's not just. There'll be people in hell whose sins were paid for. They had no debt before God. If God Almighty, in the person of His Son, paid for everybody's sin, paid them all, and God sends one man, God's not just. God's not fair. Now they'll say, yeah, but well, no, wait a minute. No. He paid for everybody's sins. But what it is you've got to accept it. Then I said, well, then salvation is by works then. I mean, He paid the debt. But if you don't accept it, then really salvation is left up to you. How are you going to answer that? False, free will, man-centered religion, doctrine produces questions, quarrels, insults before God and men, dissension. You know what Paul said about that? Verse 5. 1 Timothy 6:5. Last line of verse 5. From such, withdraw yourself. Withdraw yourself. Don't ever sit under it again. Withdraw yourself. Stay away from them. They're destitute of the truth of Christ. They have not the Spirit of God. That is not God's Spirit teaching. God's Spirit does not set forth a lie. God's Spirit does not make God to be a beggar. They suppose that religion and Christianity is just nothing but a source of profit. Spiritual, they think. Or money making, business. I'm going to go to church. I got some business. I can make some money. Kind of get in there and let these people think I'm religious. They've got one purpose. Make merchandise of men's souls. Oh, but to the settled heart. That heart that's thankful and satisfied with the knowledge of God in Christ. That is great gain. You know why? We're going to die. We're going to leave this world. If the Lord has given me a heart for Himself, has taught me where He bought me, where He's kept me, redeemed me, taught me who I am in Christ, revealed to me His everlasting interest in me, in that covenant of blessed grace, mercy, given me faith to believe Him, regenerated me by power, by Spirit. I'm a rich man. Rich in faith, the Scripture says. And therefore, I have all. You say, well, don't you think you need to be, you know, making sure that you're watching out and doing everything you need to do? I'd say so, but don't ever do it at the expense of hearing God's Word. Don't ever do it at the expense of God's glory, God's honor. Better it is with little, with the fear of the Lord, than to possess only that which this world has and be without Him. Let me just read this, if you're still in 1 Timothy 6, verse 7. We brought nothing into this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food, verse 8, and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation, snare, many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction, perdition. Our coming into this world added nothing to the property of God. All is His. And when we leave, I'll tell you this, nothing is diminished from Him. All souls are mine. And you know what we're going to leave? As I've said before, everything that God allowed us to just borrow for just a moment, it's not ours. I've worked for everything I got. You're good for you. But I'll tell you this, you don't have anything that Almighty God didn't allow you to borrow for just a moment. And to set our hearts on that, and to absolutely stand in just thinking that we've done something. I got all these barns, I'm going to build some more. I'm going to tear down what I got, I'm going to build some more. Psalm 49:17 concerning the spiritually dead, what a man has of this world. It says, for when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And if the Lord does allow you to have a few extra bucks, if riches increase, what does the Scripture say? Don't set your heart on it. Heard Brother Henry say one time, be real careful how tight you grip some things. Whether it's this world stuff or your kids or anything else. The Lord knows how to abase His people. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Let me just read Philippians 4. Philippians 4, 11 and 12. The Scripture says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. knowing that the Lord works all things after the counsel of His own will. Knowing that the Father knows the needs of His people. He said, don't you know? God knows what you need. May I be content with His lot for me and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. But they that will to be rich, oh, the great temptations, snares, many foolish, hurtful lusts drown men in destruction and perdition. Believer, be content. Lord, help me to hear this. I'm going to tell you something. There's nobody in this congregation this morning doesn't need to hear this more than me. Lord, teach me this. It's dangerous to pursue earthly riches at the neglect of the worship of God. If the Lord's prospered you, give accordingly. If God's prospered you with the knowledge of Christ, give of your time, give of yourself. If God's given you a heart after Him, seek Him. If God's prospered you monetarily, as the Lord prospers a man, how does a man give? How does a believer give? And all believers do. How does he give? As God prospered him. Give. Pray for this assembly. Pray for those that we've mentioned. Pray for those that are lost. Ask Him. It's usually the carnal desire for riches to have more at the expense of seeking God and His kingdom first puts us in the company of those that truly are just like we are. The love of money, root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred. They've been seduced, that's what that means. Seduced from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, I know this in closing. A believer is not going to depart from the faith. I know he's not. You know why? Because God's going to keep him. God is going to keep him. They're kept by the power of God through faith. But here, the apostle reveals that the love of money. And Brother Henry says this. He said, that includes an immoderate desire for all earthly treasure. The love of money easily causes that nominal professor. Now, a nominal professor is one that professes to know God but has no heart for Him. He goes through the motions. But he says the love of money, which includes that immoderate desire for earthly treasure, usually is going to be found to be the evidence of those that have no heart for Christ. The cares of this world easily draw away one that doesn't know or love or is kept by the Lord of glory. When there's no heart for the gospel, just give it time. They will leave. They'll leave. They'll leave. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, His righteousness. Father, follow after godliness, that is, walking after God Almighty in the knowledge of Christ by God's Spirit. Follow after faith, believing God, love toward God and men, patience and meekness. Lord, You're God. Lord, I'm Your servant. I'm Your child. Lord, keep me by Your grace for Christ's sake.